December.
Sure is.
It's super December. It's super holiday season.
And it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Is it?
It is.
Is it snowing somewhere where you are that I'm not?
Everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah?
It's Christmas time, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. I love Christmas. We all know I love Christmas. I'm in a little bit of a like winter funk. Is that what they call it? I don't know.
Yeah, I can attest to that.
Yeah. Just not feeling
sure
as
are.
Up.
Yeah.
Not feeling this up yet. I will definitely work my way out of it. Trust me, you guys know how much I love Christmas. I love the holidays. I put my Christmas tree up. I wrapped all my gifts. You know, if you listened to the previous episode, I got all of my gifts and they're wrapped.
Mm.
And they've been wrapped. So
wow.
Everything is looking as Christmassy as it's going to get in my house.
Except for your face.
Yeah. I'll get there. I don't know. Sometimes people have like seasonal depression. They talk about that.
Yeah, no, I get that for sure.
So what's crazy is like with seasonal depression, I know for a lot of people, it speaks to like, it gets dark super early and it's cold and mm-hmm. it's a lot less like social engagement. And I'm the opposite. So in what I'm feeling right now, like.
She's like, I like when people don't want to
come around.
I'm kind
of like, the sun's up. Like, I can't wait till the sun goes down. Or like, is people around? I can't wait to get by myself. So I think honestly, I'm just a little burnt out. Probably more emotionally than anything else.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a bit of a run for me emotionally and mentally, just like the thinking part of things. So I think I'm a little bit burnt out.
Yeah.
But I will rise again for sure. This will not last long. And I have a really great vacation approaching and
That's a great
holiday.
Yeah, you're going to the Poconos,
I'm not going. First of all, there's nothing wrong with the Poconos, but I'm not going. I've been to the Poconos once, and it was because a friend was having a birthday party for her boyfriend. And so she did it at like a cabin in the Poconos. You know, and it was really rustic, you know. Interesting place to throw a house party. But, you know, it's not my vacation of choice.
Oh.
I wouldn't go for a vacation. So I think I would go for like a... Hey, let's all meet up here.
For New Year's.
Never. 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 I will be on a boat.
Yeah.
On a beach.
Okay.
For New Year's.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
I will likely be in New Jersey.
Yeah.
At my home.
Okay.
Yeah. Normally,
big house party?
No, we normally either go to Florida to see
DJ,
my in-laws or they come up, but they're not coming.
Catering.
And we're not going.
Live music.
Be at the crib.
That's what I'm saying, at the crib, live music, catering.
Live music, catering. No, none of the above.
That's fireworks.
So y'all don't know. Okay, I do a lot of events, but when I do events, I generally do all the cooking, or my wife will do a lot of the cooking. Like, we don't really do a lot of catering.
Yeah, when I do events.
Catering costs. So.
I do a lot of events also.
Yeah.
But our events look very different.
They are very
We
different.
Probably throw the same amount of parties, but they don't look like they even know each other.
Yeah, mine are a little more rustic. That's all.
Yeah.
A little more down home.
Yeah. Honestly, in all seriousness, I'm actually considering throwing a little like last minute holiday shindig just off the strength of like, I'm in a funk. And maybe,
but maybe
other people are in a funk and I can get us all out of that mood.
Or maybe you could bring everybody down to where you
no,
are.
No, that's not
no,
even
I'm
my,
joking.
That's not even
but,
how I
but
get
you're,
down.
But you're good with people coming through though? I mean, that's
people
the
that
thing.
I care about. Like, yeah, I don't like people that I care about, people that I like.
Listeners, y'all are invited to a house party at Tiffany's house.
No, that's not true. I like y'all.
Which house?
I like y'all a lot, but we're not doing that. But okay. Yeah, no, maybe.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it. Alan, I'll send you pictures if it goes down.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'll be there. I'm invited officially. What's this? Oh, look, an Evite just came
no,
through.
No, I would
my
never.
Phone.
Let me tell y'all something right now. If you know me personally, if you receive an Evite from me, it's spam. It's not me. It's fraud. I think Evites are super effective and efficient. I've never used an Evite. It's not my preferred method of invitation. And so no shade, but I would never use an Evite for my party. I actually have used it for somebody else's party. Like, okay, you use an Evite, but.
Okay. And listeners, if you ever get an Evite from me, it's official.
It's okay? Actually not official because Alan's not even that organized to put an Evite together.
I have a million Evites. I really? Do Evites all the time. I did Evite for my Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
But I will do the last minute.
I was getting ready to say, you're going to get the Evite the morning of.
Yeah, and I'll do it. I'll do a last minute Evite in a minute and will not be ashamed.
Yeah. If you get a group text from Alan, that's probably him for sure on the invite.
Nah, that's not
how many
right.
people can you put in a group text?
A lot.
I know you know. I don't group text, I but I know you know.
Depends on if they got an iPhone or not.
Mm.
But I think it's like 20 people or something.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah, I don't do 20 person group text, though. It's 10. Not right. It's not right.
10? I don't have any like consistent group chats.
Mm.
I will send a group chat out like, hey, staff, such and such and such, delete. Like, we don't want to keep this thing going. Mm. I don't want a constant thread. I don't do group chats very well.
I have 6.
That's a lot.
Yeah. They're all pinned on the top of my phone.
That's wild. Okay. But you got kids and family and stuff like that. So
yeah, friends.
Mm-mm.
Co-workers, other groups of
I'm not
friends.
In a group chat with you. I'm not in
yes,
any
you
of
are.
Those group chats.
You are.
That's not possible.
You're in...
Oh, the Momentum group chat.
You're in 2 of the ones I have pinned.
They're both Momentum? Mm-hmm. One? Okay.
Yeah. One's Momentum, Work. One's Momentum yeah. Risk Management.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. I don't want to be in your personal group chats.
Okay. All right. Fine. So I don't want to be in your group chats either, but let's get started.
You do. Alan, you would love to be in my group chats.
Nah. Mm-mm.
Listen, the group chats that I've been in, they're temporary. That's why we can't keep them around long. It goes up.
Yeah, you know what?
It's wild.
It's a fitting topic we have today.
Absolutely. So that is kind of true. It is a great transition. You guys might be shocked by what we're talking about today. It's not very Christmassy, but we think
it really
it's important.
Is. Yeah.
And while Alan is over here throwing shade, it was his idea. So please don't. This was not a Tiffany thing. This was not based off of the funk that I'm in. Literally, you came at me with this idea.
I came at you.
You did. You brought it up.
I ran off a list of 10 topics and you jumped on the first
true.
One.
That's not true. You were like, have we ever done a show about?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think so, but that would be a good topic. This show is about divorce.
Till death do us part.
Or no. So there's a lot to talk about here. And again, this is not a doom and gloom episode, guaranteed. This is really just informational. Honestly, it's not trying to push anybody in this direction.
No.
If you're already there, if you're already in the ocean, we're just trying to teach you how to swim a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. We're not trying to lead you in any particular direction. But divorce is a real part of people's life.
Yeah.
I am a divorcee. That sounds so sophisticated. Like a divorcee.
Now, are y'all both divorcees?
I don't know what he is.
Yeah, I think y'all both are.
Maybe. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's divorced. You're a divorcee.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So I'm a divorcee myself. But, you know, it's a real part of life. And so we want to talk about it from a financial perspective. We have nothing on the emotional part. You know, God bless you and hope y'all are okay as individuals. But from a financial perspective, we want to talk you through things that you need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you are just in the best position possible as you go through a difficult time.
Yeah.
Okay. So first things first, do you know what a gray divorce is? Have you ever heard of that term, gray divorce?
So I'm thinking that it's like 50 Shades of Gray, but divorce style.
No, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a sexy divorce.
Did you even watch 50 Shades of Gray? Do you read the book?
So.
Watch it?
Not the book. That would be horrible. The movie.
Okay.
And the spoof.
And the spoof. I didn't read the book or see the spoof. And I've seen the movie, but it's been like in the background. When TNT is showing it, with commercials and everything else. A gray divorce is divorce for people who are over the age of 50.
Wow. Yeah, I've definitely seen that happen.
Yeah. So that's becoming a lot more common.
In our client base, we have a few.
Word.
Yeah.
And so, like, according to researchers, it's baby boomers who are out here getting a divorce. The divorce rate has doubled since 1990 for American adults age 50 and older.
Mm.
And there's a variety of reasons why, right? And so one reason, for example... There's just a change in divorce stigma. And honestly, this speaks to women. Women are just, listen, women are feeling empowered and they don't feel as bad about being divorced or being a divorcee as they used to, just because the stigma is different. It's not as negative as it used to be.
Plus the streets are calling.
And the streets are calling. You know what I mean?
You agreed. I didn't expect you to agree on that.
No, but it speaks more to like just women being more empowered and not feeling like I have to stay in this situation for any particular reason. The stigma is not as bad as it used to be. There isn't going to be a scarlet letter on my back. And so I'm going to just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Another big reason for these gray divorces is longer life expectancy.
Yeah, if I'm going to be living a lot longer, I need to make sure my life is going right.
Yo, I've stayed in this marriage with you for 35 years.
I ain't got another 45 Word. Years. 35 years to be with you.
Listen, the life I got left, I'm trying to live it. I need to be outside. Or I just need to be away from you. You know
I'm
what I mean?
I'm living my best life.
Literally, for some people, it's like, listen, I've done my bid. We've raised these kids.
A bid?
We've raised these kids. I've put up with your nonsense for long enough. I only have 20 or 25 years left. And honestly, that's plenty of life to live. And I want to do it on my own terms. Or I want to do it happy.
Time served.
Word. So next is, this is a really common reason for gray divorces.
Okay.
Postponed divorces.
Okay, like y'all I was planning
been,
on doing
y'all
it.
Y'all been wanted to get divorced. Mm. But you had like, you wanted to raise the kids. You wanted to make sure like everything was the way that it was supposed to be. A lot of times it's really just around the kids or finances or let me get my job or whatever the case is. But y'all, both of y'all, not just one of y'all, both of y'all been wanted to get a divorce.
Yeah,
and
like
now it's time.
You've been poisoning this dude for years.
You ain't got to kill nobody.
He hasn't dropped dead yet. You know what?
No, yeah. For a lot, again, a lot of people, they just want to stay until they've raised their kids.
He's been grinding glass up.
Oh my gosh.
Putting in his oatmeal for the last 3 years.
Yeah, but for, again, it's planned. And you've been, it's been postponed for responsible reasons, life reasons. And now the time has come for freedom.
Yeah, I've definitely been reading a lot about inflation impacting divorces, like meaning like life is getting a lot more expensive. And for some, for a lot of folks, it's very expensive to consider divorce, the cost of divorce, but then living separate when you're used to living on, you know, one set of expenses with two incomes.
So they're waiting for inflation to go down to it's get just, a divorce?
Nah, it's like, yo, you know.
I don't know.
It's not easy.
I even
read about, there's a concept of nesting. Have you heard of nesting?
Just not getting married?
Nah, it's like people that are divorcing, but they basically are like, look, we got to raise these kids. So I'm going to stay at the house with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to flip flop. I'm going to go to the apartment and you come to the house. And they're sharing an apartment and they're sharing a house.
That's dumb. And the only reason why it's dumb, I was with you until the sharing the apartment and sharing the house. Like, why can't...
They flip flop.
I wouldn't want to flip flop. And that's only because I don't like to pack and repack. So like, can I just stay here all the time? You stay there all the time. I come to the house a ton, but I go sleep at the apartment at night.
Yeah, that's
it's really just the packing for me.
Yeah, that sounds like the Marlon Wayans show on Netflix now.
Never, I don't know.
You don't watch that show?
Mm-mm.
Marlon.
I don't really watch Marlon Wayans.
No?
Mm-mm.
Oh, did you like the Wayans brothers?
It was fine. I really,
fine.
Listen, here's the thing.
That
and I'm gonna just
great.
Be honest, and I feel like most other
that
black women will align. I watched it. I only watched it because Sean was fine back then. Sean Wayans was fine. And that was really the only reason for watching it. I didn't find it all that funny.
Mm.
But, you know, Sean Wayans was something to look at back in the day.
Pops Witherspoon was on the show.
Mm-hmm. But, okay. Another reason.
That show was great.
For gray divorces are just like, one, COVID. COVID, listen, for a lot of people, and this isn't just gray divorces, having to be stuck in the house with this person at all times, like you guys probably had a routine, right? And you had a healthy amount of time away from each other, whether it was just going to work, spending time with friends, you know, being able to decompress with your homies and play basketball or whatever the case is. And then the world shut down and y'all are in each other's face all the time. Mm. That put a level of pressure and stress on relationships that was just undeniable. And you probably ain't even know her like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a lot of mysteries that keep relationships cute. And now you see her shaving her legs in the bathtub. And you're like, you're not going to clean it up? Are you kidding? Like, it's just getting to know a person more than you ever did before might make you realize, I don't really like you like that.
Yeah, without an 8-hour break in the middle of the day. Like, I needed those 8 hours
Word.
Away from your butt.
Yeah, for a lot of people. And that's, I don't know a single relationship, platonic or romantic, where you can survive being around each other 24/7 at all times with no breaks.
Yeah,
like,
I can't
you even
lie.
Just need time to yourself.
I can't lie. During COVID, I went to the office, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Because I was just like, look, I need to just stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, especially like in your situation, for people who also have kids, like, so you around your spouse and the kids.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot. And you might just crack, or you might not even be the person that you normally are under this level of pressure. You're just more high strung. You got an attitude all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that might not be who you naturally are, but that pressure, it caused a lot of people to say, you know what, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, I need a divorce.
It was nice, though, walking around the neighborhood, like going on walks with the fam, bike rides. Like, yeah. That was nice, but I still needed a little break.
Yeah.
Can't lie.
100%.
Needed a break.
So divorce is not uncommon nowadays, unfortunately. It's a 50-50 shot. And people are doing it for them. I think that's one of the things that I am noticing is that when people are choosing to get a divorce, it is because they are choosing themselves and their happiness, especially with the gray divorces. I have done all the things I'm supposed to do as a responsible parent. I have stuck this relationship out. We have gotten each other to a point in life where, you know, we are stable or whatever financially or rooted in our careers. But now it's time for me to do something for me.
Yeah. Especially the 50 Shades of Grey divorce,
too.
Oh, my gosh. So 50 Shades of Grey divorce, this is when... Okay, you know how, like, you know, a husband or a wife may say, I was accustomed to certain things during the marriage, and typically it's financial. 50 Shades of Grey divorce is when you're accustomed to certain sexual things, and you get that in the alimony.
I didn't know where we were going with this, but that's Alan. That's an Alan version of divorce. But now we've talked about, like, a lot of the reasons that these divorces have been happening, especially these gray divorces, but how does this happen? Like, how do we get this done? And how do we put ourselves in the best position for a divorce? First of all, like, the first thing you need to know is divorce laws vary by state.
Yeah, really, really.
Right?
Does.
So you start talking to your homegirls and your people who you went to college with and getting advice from all these different people.
But they're in Atlanta.
They're right. Word. And the laws don't even apply. It only takes a 30-day grace period to get a divorce in Atlanta versus the state of New Jersey, which I think is 18 months.
Yeah.
So please be mindful. Like, all advice, most advice probably won't even pertain to you or your situation.
Mm.
So before you just start running your mouth to everybody you know about what I need to do for my divorce, why don't you talk to a lawyer or just Google, right? Like, I have to believe. I have friends who are divorced. I'm divorced. And I will say, I didn't do any research on divorce before I got a divorce. But my friends who have children have. And Google.
They were still married?
Yeah. Like, when, while they were married.
Why do you know all about divorce? Did they get divorced?
No. I'm saying, yeah, for people who were, they were getting a divorce.
Oh, they were. Okay.
They did a lot of research prior to.
I thought you meant they were just happily married.
No.
Just
I didn't.
Divorce. Okay.
So I didn't do any research prior to.
Yeah.
Right. So I didn't really care what the law.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to break it.
Yeah.
But Google is your best friend. You know, if you are not as far along as, like, really wanting to get a lawyer and you're not even sure if this is something that you want to do, but you just want some information or insight, Google divorce laws by your state.
Yeah.
Please. Y'all be out here citing California divorce laws. That don't have nothing to do with you in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
So know that the laws vary by the state.
Or Des Moines.
Des Moines. As Idaho.
Iowa, man.
Is it? Don't act like you know.
You're failing geography right now.
I don't need to pass it.
Mm.
I know. I think Des Moines, they have potatoes out there.
Mm. They have potatoes really all over, but okay.
Not good ones. Not marketable ones. So another big question when people are considering divorce is, like, how much is this going to cost? Like, how much is this going to run me? And I think people, like, really, really blow it up in their heads. Like, I don't have no money for no divorce. Here's the thing. Divorce only really costs more if you got money.
Mm.
If you don't have any money or any assets, you know, you can get divorced for the low.
Mm. How much was your divorce legal fees wise?
Legal fees. So I had the play school edition divorce, and that there were no lawyers involved. There wasn't any separation of assets. We came up with a plan around the very few things that we own together. If y'all have been listening to the podcast for a very long time, you know I believe in individual bank accounts. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't really a thing. No one was requesting any alimony. So whatever it costs to file at the register, like at the county, which might have been like $65.
Really?
Word is one.
So who got to keep the Easter clothes?
We didn't share Easter clothes, so it's fine. But
no,
honestly.
Real talk. So you got married in Florida, divorced in Georgia. Did you have to consult with Florida in any way?
So I had my wedding ceremony in Florida, but my marriage license was from Georgia.
Okay.
And I was living in New York when I got divorced. So my ex-husband was still in Georgia. He filed the paperwork in Georgia, brought it up to me in New York. We signed it, went to literally went to a UPS to do the notary. And, you know.
Sounds like a business transaction.
Fist bumped and it was a wrap after that.
Sounds like a real estate closing.
Listen, real estate closings are way harder than what I had to do. But yeah.
But like, there was some emotions involved. He didn't just show up like, here, sign it.
Of course not. Of course not. There were definitely tears. Yeah, there were definitely emotions involved. But I'm just saying from a financial perspective, like it wasn't expensive for me. And divorces don't have to be expensive, especially if you, one, don't have a lot of assets, or two, have a very clear, amicable plan that you guys are going to stick to. But like, don't get it twisted. Like divorces can range $15,000 to $20,000 for some couples, for a lot of couples.
And up.
And up. The most.
I've definitely seen the six-figure legal fee divorce.
Yeah?
Yeah, for sure. One of my old business partners had a really expensive divorce.
He had a lot of money, though.
Business assets.
Yeah, assets.
He had, there were multiple homes, there was business, there was 401ks, there were cars, and three children.
Yeah, so that, again, and your children are considered assets. So if you have a lot of assets, your divorce will likely be more expensive. If you don't, it can be very inexpensive. You can literally go on LegalZoom. Like I said, we went up to the courthouse and kind of just picked up the paperwork. I'm sure you can probably download it at this point. But, you know, the cost is dependent on where you are and the assets that you have. I will tell you the most expensive divorce in history, $2.5 billion.
That's in legal fees?
I don't know.
Or is that in...
I don't know. I hope not. I hope like that was assets. I don't know. I don't know. But y'all should have just stayed together at that point. There is nothing on the other side of that that would have served you guys. But we are talking about divorce. We're just going through the financial perspective for people who are going through this. Again, there are a lot of people going through this right now, even in the holiday season. And like, it's just difficult. And so all we're trying to do is provide the financial tools and tips to help you get through what you're already going through.
Yes.
I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. So we are back.
Yes.
And we're still talking about divorce.
Still are.
This is not a doom and gloom episode.
Nope.
Okay. We are still very much in the holiday season.
Yep.
But we do always talk about the uncomfortable conversations just to make sure you guys have everything that you need to be okay.
Yeah. Don't listen to this one with your spouse. You want to hear this one on...
You might want to listen to it with your spouse.
On a run by yourself.
Just in case somebody needs to be talked out of a situation. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I saw a really great video that would encourage y'all to stay together. It was a woman who was trying to date as a cougar. And it's a young man singing current rap songs to her. And she wasn't feeling it at all.
How much older was she?
It's a...
Parody?
30-second video. Okay. So the lady looked like she was in her 40s or 50s.
So because that's where
dude
I was going
was like in
this.
His like 20s.
Let's be clear about something. And Alan, you know me very well. I am in my 40s. Yep, I'm in my 40s. I'm in my 40. I just got here. I'm happy to be here. Thank y'all 40s. For welcoming me. I'm in my 40. And if I were to date someone in their 20s, my rap lyrics are equally as offensive as his. So like that wouldn't... That really wouldn't deter me
so
from
in
the dating pool.
In the video, he's singing that song, Lifestyle. He's like, din, 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 din,
I don't know the song.
That's exactly the point.
Yeah,
that's exactly the point. It's like mumble rap singing.
Okay.
And she's like, okay.
Okay. Yeah, I feel you. Like, I don't like those artists, but I feel like if you're cougaring, you are not
worried
there
about the, you're not
to
worried
share,
about the rap lyrics.
Right. You know, that's not what you're focused on. Either way, we are talking about divorce. So here are a lot of the things that you guys are going to need to do as you go through or consider this process. First things first, this is going to sound so basic, but because we deal with people who are going through a divorce or someone on the other side of a divorce, learn how much money you have.
Yeah.
For a lot of couples, you know, one person is stronger when it comes to the financial responsibilities. And so you have no clue how much money y'all have. Mm-hmm. You know y'all straight. You know the bills are paid. You might be able to log into your bank account and see how much money's in the bank account, but there is more money than just what's in your bank account. You actually have to go through and find your financial records. Even for people who are rich, like, listen, we are balling. We got plenty of money. First of all, you might not. Second of all, how much is plenty of money? You really need to know what the actual numbers are before you can even start to determine what's mine or what's yours.
Yeah, and also you want to understand what are the different types of assets, because like a lot of couples, this is where divorce goes wrong. Like let's say there's $4 million in assets and there's a $2 million house and $2 million worth of stock. Like for a lot of couples, it's like, oh, you take the house, I'll take the stocks.
Yeah, nah, that's different. Like you really want to understand there's a lot of treatments around these different types of assets. So things that you need to get a hold of, tax returns, mm-hmm. right? Especially if you file as a couple. Even if you don't, but you do want to get access to your tax returns, bank statements, loan information, right? Like understand, well, you know, he pays the bills, he pays off the, you know, the credit cards. Great, but you need to know how much y'all owe.
Yeah.
Retirement account information for sure. Investment account statements, employment information. Like it is important to know like how long this person has been employed with which employer. What their benefits look like, and then social security statements. Because even if you are divorced, you may be entitled to social security. You may, yeah. You probably will still be entitled to some sort of retirement depending on like the nature and age and if a person gets remarried or whatever the legal designation is, all these things apply. And so when you are determining who gets what, you have to know like what is involved.
For example, let's say you weren't even working, your spouse was working. You might still be entitled to a portion of Social Security even if you didn't work.
Word.
Because of the fact that you were married for X amount of time and that person's entitled to Social Security. If the person has a pension and y'all get divorced, you may be entitled to a percentage of that pension, right? If the person has a retirement account that they've been contributing to but you weren't, you might be entitled to a portion of that retirement account. So really, you've got to understand where everything is, but also understand that everything's not equal. So that in that example of $2 million of stock versus a $2 million home, it might not be equal to just split. Well, you take the stocks, I take the house, because that house might need to be upgraded. It might be, there might be a sagging roof on the house. Those stocks, it might be some great stocks that are going to appreciate in value. If it's a retirement account, well, guess what? There's taxes attached to that. Like if somebody gave you a $2 million retirement account, it's not the same as a $2 million stock portfolio.
Yeah, I was going to go there next. So like all dollars are not created equal, right? And so to Alan's point, if you've got $400,000 in cash and $400,000 in retirement savings, you don't want to say, all right, I'll take the retirement savings and okay, I'll take the cash. Because to your point, there's taxes that have to come out on that retirement account when you start spending it down mm-hmm. versus cash. It's already, the taxes are already paid on it. And so it's not an equal amount. You don't want to split things that way. You do want to, again, understand how much money you have and where it lies, because there's a lot of different factors that determine what's fair.
Facts.
Okay. So now we got to figure out how much money we have. Now we have talked about like if you really are balling, if you're this $2.5 billion divorce, or if it's nasty or maybe with a public personality or a sneakier person, you might need to bring in a forensic accountant.
And your bill just went up.
Word.
Your legal bill.
That's a fact, right? Also, don't automatically assume you're going to be responsible for the legal bill. I'm just going to put that out there.
We all combine legal bill.
Sure. But you might need to bring in a forensic accountant. I don't think this is something that happens often, probably amongst our listeners. But if you think this person is hiding money.
Oh, no, it happens. What happened in the divorce I was talking about with my old business partner?
No, 100%. I just don't think it happens a ton amongst our listeners because everybody's so above board and honest and would never hide money.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, I'm not saying y'all don't have money. I'm just saying y'all are just so just upfront about your dollars.
Yeah.
And
just an open book.
Just an open book.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you know for a fact Clifford is a liar, you need to go get a forensic accountant.
Clifford.
Yeah, because it couldn't be Raheem. I don't feel like Raheem had like would require a forensic accountant, but a Clifford. Yeah. Cliff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say it's not at the level where you need a forensic accountant. I do think you should get advice from a financial advisor.
Oh my God, 100%. You listen, whatever players you had on your team while y'all were together are the same players that you're going to need on your team through a divorce. It might not be the same exact people.
Yeah, you may need your own.
Yeah, you might need your own, but please don't assume like, you know, if you have a family financial advisor that that one person is probably going to work for both of y'all. Like, you probably need to get your own. If you have an accountant, a family accountant, you know, a family lawyer, you as an individual are going to still need all of these players. You just might have to get your own.
Yeah, you need someone that's going to advocate from your perspective selfishly.
Yes.
And that's why you might not want the same advisors as your other half.
Yeah, even if they're, you know, no, they're cool with both of us. Like, listen, I need somebody who's down for me only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's going to ride for me?
Word. The very next thing you probably need to do, if you haven't already, you got to make sure you have your own bank accounts, right? So Al and I, we always talk about how we differ when it comes to how money sits when you're married. If you only have joint bank accounts, you need to go open your own bank account now. If you are a person who's always had your own bank account, like you guys have kept money separate, even if it's in addition to keeping money together, I think you're okay. But if you do not have your own bank account, you have to run to the bank and open your own bank account, at least one.
Yeah, you need to be able to regain control of your finances.
Yeah.
You need to know what's yours and understand how to budget for yourself. And really, again, if you weren't the spouse who was doing all the money stuff, then you've got to start doing it.
100%. And if your person is aware, like, you know, is aware y'all are getting a divorce and this isn't still something you're just considering, you probably need to start getting your paycheck directly deposited into your new individual bank account, right? And don't start there. Please have the conversation first. But again, if y'all are on the same page and this is happening, start getting your money deposited directly into your own individual bank account. Not for the sake of holding money away from this person, but again, for you to start to get control of your own finances as early as possible.
Yes.
The next thing you need to do is you need to, one, get your credit report and start to build your own credit. I've seen this so many times in relationships where one person in the relationship just has horrible credit. And so they just do everything on the other person's credit. And if that's the case, when y'all get divorced, like, it's still going to be the same. Like, one person's going to have bad credit and one person's going to have really good credit. And for the person who has bad credit, it's going to be hard for you to get a credit card to potentially get an apartment or a mortgage loan or an auto loan, you know, as you try to get these individual things for yourself. So pull your credit report, right? And that is also to see what's on your credit report. And then you need to start working on building your own credit.
Yeah, this is one of those things where a judge can't help you with this.
Word.
A judge might be able to split the assets. A judge might be able to help with guardianship and who's going to be in charge of the kids. But the judge can't be like, all right, you're going to give 300 Experian points to your spouse. Nah, you got to stand on your own on credit.
Yeah. And the other thing that's going to come out when you pull this credit report is you're going to see whose name is on what. I think sometimes you've been in a relationship so long with this person.
You're intertwined.
You're so intertwined. Like, you forgot that the car is only in his name, right? Like, you forgot that that credit card is only in her name. You need to be clear on whose name is attached to what. That's going to be very, 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 very important when it comes down to not only splitting assets, but again, that's going to have an impact on your credit report. That's going to have an impact on what your monthly expenses are, who's taking what, who can have what. So you got to actually start to look at, is my name on any of this stuff?
Yeah. Imagine this. Imagine you're divorced, you're riding off into the sunset, and all of a sudden you're getting a bill collector calling saying, word, hey, you owe this money. You're like, no, I don't. That was his thing.
Right.
It's in your name.
Right.
It's on you at that point.
That happens very easily with cars. People will buy their spouse a car, right? And it's in their name.
Cell phone.
Alan. That's Alan. You know how that goes down. So in my situation, I didn't want to put my name on anything. So that's also why it was a little bit easier for our divorce.
Why was this? Why didn't you want to put your name on it? Did it feel too permanent? Was it about commitment? Were you?
Nah, I don't think it was phobic? That. It wasn't that.
You were holding back a lot, Tiffany. And you didn't even take his last name.
First of all, I was young. Dialing back.
No last name. Name on nothing. Hold on. Separate bank accounts. Hiding money.
I wasn't hiding money.
Sneaking around.
None of that. That's not true.
I'm starting to see a really clear picture of who was the offender in the relationship.
There was no offender in the relationship. Honestly, I didn't want to be on the mortgage at all. I wasn't working, or I wasn't making as much money as he was making. And Okay, let's be honest. I will tell you what I kept saying and how I got away with not getting on the mortgage. Mm. I just don't know if it's necessarily true, but it was my storyline. I kept saying,
"Here it goes. This ought to be good, y'all." If y'all want, hold on. If y'all want some advice on how to game a dude,
no, I wasn't gaming him in any capacity. So first of all, before we got married, he already owned a house.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And so
here it comes.
He was comfortable purchasing a home. And so
like
I kept
man.
Saying, mm-hmm. like a real man. Yes, he was a real man. I kept saying, I don't want to be on the mortgage because when we buy our real house, I want to be able to use first time homeowners benefits.
Mm. Even though we've done a show.
I know nothing about that. I didn't know anything about that.
If you haven't gotten on a new mortgage in the last 2 or 3 years, you're a first time.
It's like 7 years. But
it wasn't seven. It was like 2 or 3 years.
Either way, I didn't know any of that. I was in my early 20s.
I believe you did know that.
And that is how I got away with not getting on the mortgage.
But hold on. How are you going to say our real house, though? Like, you kind of like low-key like coming
from him. No. Everybody has like your starter home. And so we had a very nice starter home.
This is all right, but we got our real house.
It wasn't. No. That was definitely a starter home. And, you know, one day we will buy a bigger home. But that was how I got away with it. But again, you need to know what you are, what your name is attached to. So I was a co-signer for his student loan, right? That's something.
You're on that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So I needed to know that. That was something that I worried about for years and years and years after the fact. I actually still don't know if it's paid off. I pray to God that it is. He's a very successful
person.
Well,
they're not coming for you.
Word. And it's not on my credit report. Yeah. So there's that. Shout out to you.
And it's 3 years. If you haven't owned a home in 3 years, then you're a new first-time home buyer. And you knew that.
I did not
know that. You knew that.
First of all, I did not know that. Okay. Other things that you need to know. You need to figure out what your post-divorce income is going to be. Mm. Right? And so not only your post-divorce income, but your post-divorce expenses.
Yeah.
Expenses are going to look very different. And it's not just, whatever our expenses are divided by two. Absolutely not. Different people are going to be responsible for different things, especially if there are kids involved. There's a likelihood that you're still going to be paying bills that pertain to that other person. But again, if you have kids, even if there's child support, that doesn't mean that you're still not going to be responsible for food and clothes, right? Like in the moment. And so your expenses that you typically share are going to be different. Are you now going to be paying for the maintenance on your car? You never taking your car to get maintenance. Mm. Now you need to be buying transmissions and oil changes. Like, these are things that you need to think about. Household bills, clothes. Does your spouse always buy your clothes? Mm. Now you're responsible for buying your own clothes. What do those expenses look like? It's a variety of different things.
Yeah, if your spouse is buying the clothes, now you're buying the clothes. Clothes might look a little different now.
That's a fact. I think that's like a common thing in most relationships. Like, one person is probably more responsible for like the style of the couple.
Mm.
And if you're not that person, you don't got no style.
Yeah. Were you styling your husband at the time?
I was. But he, you know, he learned how to style himself.
Mm.
Okay. So, and then, you know, for men, it's easier. Y'all just find another chick to style you. That's it.
But it ain't the original style that you got accustomed to that your fans want you to, to see.
Your fans want you to see. But yeah, these are things that you have to take into consideration. You might not have ever purchased your own cologne. You don't know how much your cologne
costs.
So
that could be something in the alimony. Like, look, all right, I'll pay alimony, but you're going to need to pick my clothes for me for the next 10
gray,
years.
Shades of gray divorce that Alan keeps talking about with these intangibles.
You're going to have to pick my cologne for the next 12 years, okay?
No.
That's part of it.
That's absolutely not part of it. So again, you need to understand what your post-divorce income and your post-divorce expenses are going to be for sure. So we've got a couple of more really, really important tips that I think might throw people for a loop. So continue to stick with us. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. It's the pathway to freedom that's leading to the North Star.
Thank you so much for listening to the Momentum Advisors Show. This is Sean King, founder and CEO of the North Star. If you want to hear more shows like this, featuring black and brown voices on the most important issues of the day, head over right now to thenorthstar.com to discover all the podcasts we have to offer. We have over 500 different episodes from 6 different podcast series, and they're all great. Check them out.
So we are back.
Yes.
Still talking about divorce.
Yes,
this
we
hasn't
are.
Been like a down episode, right? When you think about divorce, you think negative. And so sometimes people could be like, damn, like, why y'all do that?
Now, your tone is like you're encouraging everyone
I'm not
listening to
though.
Get divorced.
I'm not encouraging anybody to do anything, but I am saying if you are in the midst of something, we are providing you information to be able to get through it financially.
And Tiffany's attitude is, this is pretty good.
Was it mine was? I can't speak for anybody else's.
At the same time, it can be really great for certain people.
Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. Well, I'm not telling anybody to get a divorce. We are not telling anybody to get a divorce. Also, this is Alan's idea to even do the show.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to continue to add this disclaimer. So it's not put on me.
But I will say this is really great advice for anybody that...
And it's practical advice. Like, some of y'all need to do this even if you're not getting a divorce.
Yeah, why not run the credit report and see what's on your name and on his name?
100%.
And then go smack him in the face.
That's how you end up in a divorce. See where all the bad relationship advice comes from? Like, and then go smack him
okay,
in the face.
Okay, don't smack him in the face.
Okay.
On the butt.
In lovingly.
Lovingly.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now he's going to think he did something right.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. This piece of advice I love when it comes to a divorce that oftentimes people don't think about. If you get a divorce and you are relying on any support from your former spouse.
Child support, alimony.
Whatever the case is, even if they still cover just some of the bills, you need to have life insurance on that person.
Yeah.
Typically, when people get divorced, the first thing they do is change their beneficiary.
Mm.
No, you are still relying on that income. So if something happens to that person, you need to compensate for that missed income. It's very hard for people to rationalize getting an insurance policy for your ex-spouse, right? It sounds like she's about to kill me. It's a setup. And that's not the case. It really does speak to if you're relying on any income, children, alimony, maybe they're still paying half of the car note, whatever the case, maybe you're still on their insurance. You need an insurance policy.
Yeah. And I think it should be a separate one, too, to be honest.
100%.
And you need some verification that they haven't switched that Benny on you.
Listen.
I need some assurances. You need to be some sort of authorized person on the policy so you can double check.
That's a fact. Because they might be like, listen, I got it. It's there. Don't worry about it. You're going to be straight. If something happened to me, you're going
to
be fine.
I need to see the paperwork.
Yeah, seriously. It's a very adult thing to have to do. It's a very adult conversation to have. And it's probably really hard to have if there's like a lot of emotions tied into it. But once y'all get practical about it, you know, I need that insurance.
And dare I say, they might need some disability insurance too.
That's a fact.
Because if they get disabled, their income is going to drop and you need to make sure that you get paid.
Now, here's the thing. If you got 2 or 3 exes, you need to chill out on insurance policies because you're going to end up on Dateline.
So on that note, as a single woman,
mm-hmm.
you're in the dating world.
I'm out here.
There's a guy interested in you.
Hey.
He's been divorced 3 times. Is that a red flag for you?
So.
2 or 3 times. Let's say.
So my dad's been divorced twice.
Okay.
It's not. It's here. And here's why. It's not a red flag for me because ain't nobody said I want to get married to you. I am not a person who dates solely for lifetime commitment. It could very well be we're having a really great time hanging out this summer. So I don't care if you've been divorced 3 or 4 times. I'm only trying to kick it with you through the fall. Like, it's fine. So no, it's not a red flag for me for us to continue dating.
Okay.
Now for us to now pursue a bigger commitment, 100%.
3? What would be your max?
I don't know. But here's the thing. When we're older now, right? So at this age, if you've had 3 divorces and we're to a place where we are considering having a real future together, I want to talk to at least 1 or 2 of these broads.
You need references?
I want to know what happened. I want to know what happened from her because y'all lie.
But you know it's going to sound bad every time.
It's fine. I have both sides of the story. I just want to know her perspective.
Mm.
That's it. She's not about to tell me what I'm going to do in my life. I only know his side of the story. I would like to know her side of the story.
I would love to hear this conversation. Girl, don't do it. Girl, don't do it.
I want to know how she's doing afterwards. If all of the chicks have like blown up, like that become ultra successful after y'all got divorced, I don't think it's for me.
What?
It matters.
If they're success, the women are successful. I just want to know,
like,
afterwards?
After the divorce, how did the women turn out? Like,
and if they turned out successful,
it doesn't. Like, I just want to know: did you ruin these broads' lives? Mm. Like, you know what I mean?
And
are
you
they
want
destitute?
That.
No, I don't. I just want to know. Okay. I just want clarity. Like, are they just destitute after the relationship ends, or have they gone on and blossom and like they're outside? I just want to know. This is all just data. I just want the data.
Mm.
So,
okay,
but yeah, not to date. Like, we just hanging out. We just going to get a little ice cream.
Okay.
I don't care about your divorces.
Mm, that's what y'all call it now, ice cream?
I don't even eat ice cream. So let's start there. We're actually not going out to get ice cream. And so if you are trying to holler at me and you're over the height of 6'5", we're not going out for ice cream.
Where are y'all going?
Never
mind. Let's just talk about something.
Okay. Because I like tea. I like hot tea. I just I don't eat ice cream.
That's what y'all call it.
I like Italian hot ices, tea. Shaved ice. I'm good with a shaved ice.
So you want them shaving?
What? I'm not a part of beer gang, just in case y'all are curious. I mean, I don't have an issue with it, but that's not, I'm not really like pressed. Don't know how we got here. So we're talking about divorce.
Yes.
Okay. Another thing, please refrain from making any big financial decisions as you're going through a divorce. I know the first thing that people think about is, I got to get a house. Let me take all my money out of the bank account. Like, let me just start moving things around.
Sell all your investments.
Word. Let me just chill out. First of all, if there is like lawyers involved, this is going to look really shady, especially if there's a verdict that has to be made. Like, you are going to look like you are dishonest, and that might have a greater impact on the judgment. So chill out. And also, you don't know enough about what the outcome is going to be to make good financial decisions. Mm-hmm. So just, unfortunately or fortunately, just leave things alone. Yeah. Don't do anything crazy just yet. Because again, you might jump out the window. If you have plenty of money, you might jump out the window and buy a house before the divorce. That's your house now. Like, in some capacity, even if his name is not on it, that is considered an asset that happened during the marriage. And now homeboy's getting a portion of the new crib.
You might have to kill him. I'm saying, you've left me with no choice.
But no, you jumped out the window and started buying things or making big financial decisions. If you purchase it during the marriage, regardless of whose name is in, they may be entitled to it. So just chill out.
Yeah.
No new stuff.
Yeah, I have some friends going through a divorce right now, and the issue at hand is the home equity. Mm. Like, she put the down payment down on the home.
Okay, sis.
He paid the mortgage payments, and she's making the argument that I'm entitled to half. So what he did is then he went out and got a second mortgage. So he reduced the home equity and is like, all right, well, you can have half of that. But what
like
about
him.
The
like
second
him.
Mortgage
I don't like
portion?
Him.
So it's a lot of
I'm praying for you, sis.
Trickery out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's a lot of trickery out here. And just so we're clear, not that they're listening or anything, she's entitled to half of the house because of the time that she's put into this relationship.
Come on.
Not because
those were a good
she,
4 years.
Not because she only, air quotes, put down the down payment and you've been paying the mortgage the entire time. It's not about your financial contribution necessarily.
Mm.
All right, sis.
Yeah. I slept there as much as you.
Word. Okay, she made that house a home.
You see what I'm saying?
Thank you. Cooking all the meals, put all that furniture in that house.
Birthing those children.
Hosting all your whack-ass parties.
Putting the cap back on the toothpaste.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You don't know what she's been through.
Grocery shopping.
She might deserve the whole house.
You see what I'm saying?
Anyway.
Tiffany get mad now.
I don't like that. Don't be tricky.
Yeah, maybe.
Honestly, here's the thing, and this is the one slight piece of, like, I guess, non-financial advice I give. I don't know about people's relationships, but I have to believe that at some point y'all really loved each other and y'all were really on the same page and really wanted the best for each other. And it can get very contentious at the end of these relationships. But, like, I don't know. It's just hard for me to just, like, hate a person. Like, I don't hate anybody, but, like, it's hard for me to completely forget the good times that we had. And so just please remember the person that you did like at some point and not wanting to screw that person over. Maybe the new person, but they're still the old person in there. You don't have to screw them over.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and it says more a lot more about you than it says about them.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine you want to be fair because you want to be treated fair.
Word. The other thing that you have to think about, and I think this is like, again, the first thing that people oftentimes think about is what do we do with the house? So like you mentioned in the situation with your friends, like who gets the house? First of all, it's not that simple. It's not as simple as who gets the house. Y'all might both get the house, right? Like y'all might have to sell the house. Like that might be the determining factor. Like, you know what? Y'all got to sell it. No one gets the house. It's do I want to stay in the house? Should he stay in the house? You going to try to make new memories in this house? You going to have some other, you know, chick up in this house? Like all of those things, it gets very emotional very quickly. And I understand, right? Because you are attached to your home. It is your home. Mm. And so you love that place. But you have to figure out either with your soon-to-be ex-spouse or with lawyers involved, what is the best outcome for you and your children and for you and your income. If you don't have no job, it's going to be very hard for you to keep a house. And what I mean by that is if you don't also get enough alimony that covers the mortgage and all the utilities, what are you going to do with the house? Like if you get to keep the house, but you only make $30,000 a year and it's an $800,000 house, the bank is going to end up with that house. Like that house is going to end up in foreclosure. So you got to think about more than just the memories and the wants when determining what to do with the house.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this part is really emotional, especially when there's kids involved. Like one of our older clients had two homes in the marriage. There was the family home and then there was the vacation home. And she was really, really adamant, I want to own these homes. And she got the homes. And now she's like, man, that's a lot of house for me. Like,
and
there's a lot of maintenance. There's a lot of maintenance required on these homes. I don't know if I should have.
You're not about to be mowing the lawn.
And what's crazy is that the house had a certain value, but like the other spouse got to keep some stocks that have tripled in value in that period of time. So
something to think about.
Think about it.
Yeah. And then the last thing I would say, as you're going through a divorce during a very difficult time and trying to think through all the moving factors, just try to be conservative with your spending and saving as you're going through the divorce. Mm. This might not, I'm not saying that you got to, you know, be conservative for the rest of your life. But again, different states have different divorce laws and don't just start balling out and spending all his money at the end or, you know, just try to put as much money aside as you can comfortably so that this is as easy as possible, right? Because divorces are not easy.
Yeah. On that note, Tiffany, why don't you give a divorce pep talk before we head out of here?
Oh, I know divorce pep talk.
Come on, give it to them. They need it. Somebody's going through it. They're struggling right now.
You're going to be all right. Oh, I mean, I'm not the pep talk person, but
give them pep talk too.
In real life, and I've talked a lot of friends through divorces, if you are going through a divorce, honestly, and like you're really, really devastated about it, I guarantee you, and I really do mean this, I guarantee you that life will be better and brighter on the other side.
There we go.
Not immediately, but I guarantee you it will be so much better on the other side for both parties.
There we go.
100%. And it's not going to be the same. It'll never be the same again, right? So you will mourn that. But what will come to you as you get to focus on yourself will be bigger and brighter.
That's what they needed to hear, Tiffany. Okay. Thank you for that.
Well, we're out. Hopefully you're not getting a divorce. But if you are, hopefully you've received enough information for you to feel a little bit more comfortable about what you have to do in the financial portion of it.
Storm into that room. Put the papers on the table.
Don't do that. Do it like that.
Let us be the wind beneath your
wings.
Don't
do it like that. I don't know the proper way to let somebody know. Hopefully y'all have been on the same page the entire time. The having, like being the one person that had to let the other person know.
Yeah, I think.
I've been there.
You leave clues, like for
don't
example,
leave clues.
Take the cereal, pour all the cereal out, but leave the box in there with the
what?
Bag.
What? And empty. What does that mean? It's empty. It's an empty house.
You see what I'm saying?
My heart is empty.
You see? Hey.
But now everybody's hungry.
Okay.
That's a horrible clue.
Leave the refrigerator door open.
What?
Every night.
No.
It's getting cold.
No. Just no. Please don't leave clues. If you want to divorce somebody, please don't leave no clues.
Pull all the clothes off the hangers in the closet. Just leave the clothes on.
Someone has to pick them up. This is dumb. Don't listen to Alan. Clearly, Alan can't. He's not built for this. But we will be back next week. I'm Tiffany Hawkins.
I'm Alan Boomer.
And we're the Momentum Advisors. Momentum.